Amen. Thank you, Randy, for leading us in prayer. And I just want to emphasize, as Randy prayed for our brother John Wosky, several of you have asked about update on him and how to pray for him. I hadn't heard anything since yesterday, and then right before the service, I got a text from his brother Stan Wosky. And Stan said that it is a very grave situation, that he has very little brain activity. He continues to deteriorate. And so how do we pray? We pray, first of all, as Randy did, Lord, if it is your desire to keep him here, then we need a miracle. But Lord, if you're not going to keep him here, that you take him home quickly to yourself, that he wouldn't linger, that he wouldn't suffer, that the family wouldn't suffer. But in all this, your will be done, not ours. We try to pray according to the will of the Lord in this. And it's a difficult situation. I had the chance, both Brendan and I had the chance, as several of our elders as well, were there Thursday night to the wee hours of the morning. And John, earlier that afternoon, did seem to recognize us, blinked when we asked him, did you recognize us, but was not able to move otherwise. So John is very, very sick, very gravely ill. And unless God intervenes, he will probably go home to be with the Lord. And so that is sad, but we have to keep in perspective. The Lord says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. We don't always have that perspective. But continue to pray, because as long as he's alive, there is hope. And we trust him. We entrust him into the hands of the Lord. Amen. Invite you, if you haven't grabbed your Bible yet, please grab your Bible and turn to John chapter 10. And we're going to read together from John chapter 10. We're going to read verses 7 through 10. It'll be up here on the screen as well. And I invite you to let's stand out of reverence for the Word, and we'll read the Word together. Let's begin. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and out and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. You to describe your life, would one of the words that you would use to describe your life be abundant? If we read these words here, and it's actually in the Old King James Version, and it might be some of the other older versions, translations that have this phrase, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly, or more abundantly. The NIV translates it, have it to the full. And we'll look at the meaning of that word and why it's translated as such. So would you use that phrase, that word, to describe your life, that my life is full, in terms of the grace of God, the blessings of God? Is my life abundant? Would you use that? If not, I challenge you today, because Jesus says here clearly, he states it clearly, does he not, that I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I have come to give you life and give it to you to the full. I think sometimes preachers do a disservice to the gospel and to Christ, because sometimes we make things pretty difficult, you know, about following God. And the thing I love about Jesus is that he states it so clearly, so often. He says that even a child can understand this. In fact, he tells you and me that as adults, that if we don't repent and become like children, that we won't enter the kingdom. Unless you repent and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom, he says. Why? Because, you see, We get so complicated about things. We just complicate things. Well, you know, I befollow the Lord, but... There's always the but. The big but. You know, I would follow, but, you know, the church, you know, it did me wrong. You know, the organized church, they, you know, they did thus and so, and, you know, that priest or that pastor, you know, that church leader, that Sunday school teacher, they did thus and so. You know, it really hurt me. Yes. Yeah, we have all had painful things. But you understand that the organized church is made up of humans, like you and me. And I said this to somebody the other day, anything that we as humans touch, we really screw it up pretty good. We mess pretty much everything up that we touch. But when it comes to the pure church and the gospel, that's Jesus' invention. His gospel is simple. He says, put your faith in me, receive eternal life, receive abundant life, receive forgiveness of sins, walk with me on a daily basis, and don't look at the one next to you, but look at me. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of things that are happening. Oh, how can God be in control when these terrible disasters are happening? What does that have to do with your faith in Jesus Christ? Yes, there are terrible tragedies happening today, almost on a daily basis. We are living in terrible times. But this is part of God's plan. In His prevenient or allowing will, these things are going to happen. In fact, we have been prophesied, 1 Timothy chapter 4, that things are going to get bad. In fact, they're going to get worse before He comes again. And so Jesus clearly states here, not that He's here with His boot on your neck. He's not standing there with His hammer ready to bring it down upon you. No, He says, I've come that you can have life and have it to the full. I can give you abundant life. And so the main point of the message today is this. Jesus is the gate to full abundant life. Do you have it? Do you have His full abundant life? And if so, are you living it? Are you living in that abundant life? You see, there's a difference between receiving and coming into Christ and receiving abundant life and then living in it, walking in it. Those are two different things. Because you know what? You can become saved. You can receive abundant life and then you can be miserable. Did you know that? You can choose to be miserable. You know, because you could say, well, yes, my sins are forgiven, but, you know, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, can't pay my bills, lost my job, I lost my car, lost my dog. By the way, if you play it backwards, you have a new country song. Yeah. Yeah, I lost my dog, but I got it back. You know. Anyway, just trying to make sure you're awake. But you see, Jesus doesn't promise a life without problems. He promises His presence in the midst of it. He will be with you. He will walk with you. Now, there's this little word, this little concept, this little issue called obedience. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Well, let's define some terms. Jesus wants you and me to have abundant life. We read it in the Scripture. He wants you and me to have full abundant life. So let's define the terms. What does that mean? The word full or abundant means this. It means beyond abundant. Actually, the literal word means superabundant. It means superior, as in a different kind of life. And it means excessive. Jesus wants your life to be filled and overflowing with Him. Somebody was talking about today that, you know, we're having the church picnic and someone asked them, oh, well, you know, I love picnics, you know, is there going to be alcohol there? And I told them, tell the person, no, but we have living water. We got some living water. You see, Jesus says, I have living water for you. And that little trickle that you have can well up and become streams of living water that flow out of your life. Jesus once takes that trickle and turn it into a flood. It means abundantly full in your life. This is what Jesus has for us. It's different, superior life. It's not a better life in the sense of, hey, things are bad and they're going to get better. Things are good, they're going to get better. Things are great and they're get better. No. It means a different kind of life. It means a life filled with His presence, His promises, His goodness. So verse 7 starts out, Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. What does that mean? Now, I don't have any sheep, never had any, have no desire to have any. But our brother Mark Zoltenfuss and his family, they have sheep. And, you know, there is a gate. And you have to open that gate to do what? To let those sheep in or to let those sheep out. Jesus is saying, I am the gatekeeper. I'm the one who either lets people in or not. I am the gate. And he says, in this sense, he allows people access to the grace of God. He's the one through whom he allows access to the Father. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Through me. That is not a PC statement. That is not a politically correct statement. It is an exclusive statement. Jesus makes no bones about it. Jesus doesn't say, hey, I'm one of a few good guys that you can follow and get to God. Oh, no. No, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one. Who does that mean, by the way? No one. Zero. No one. Except you come through Christ. No one comes to the Father except through me. We live in a day that, is inclusive. We were in John's room the other day. There was a male nurse and he was talking with us. And, Ollie was there, Ollie Wasky, and Ollie, he began to turn the conversation, about spiritual things. And, I kind of walked in on it. They were already having a discussion, and the male nurse was saying, well, you know, we're all these religions, they're all the same. It's all different ways to God, but they're all the same. And before I could say it, Ollie was like, no. No. There's only one way, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. You have to enter through Jesus. And so Jesus gives us access. I am the gate for the sheep. Now, he's using sheep, which in that day people were very familiar with sheep, and especially a culture that was agrarian and had a lot of animals, livestock. They understood this. And Jesus, you know, it's a little bit hard for us to get this in terms of sheep, but we're very much like sheep. First of all, sheep really stink. Some of y'all didn't get that. It went right over your head. Okay. And sheep are not very smart. They're kind of dumb. Am I right, Mark? You know, correct me if I'll get any of this wrong. Sheep are kind of dumb. They just kind of look at you and... You go up and try to talk to them, and they look at you. They're almost dumb as the turkeys that I saw yesterday. We went down to the Emelson's farm and set up stuff and drive back. They have wild turkeys that wander on the property. And so we stopped and, you know, I opened the window. I was looking for something to throw to one of the turkeys to, you know, give it to it. And it just looks at me and goes, come on. And I'm trying to talk to it, and it wouldn't respond. I don't know why. I was trying to be like Dr. Doolittle, you know? Talk to the animals. Jesus says, I am the gate. And then he says this in verse 8. Watch this. He says, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Wow, what is he talking about there? Well, we know, if you go back in extra-biblical history, outside of the Bible, we know that there were many people who claim to be Messiah, Deliverer, the Prophet of God, the Anointed One of God. There were many in that day. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, verses 34 through 38, Gamaliel, one of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council of leaders, even talks about this. The Sanhedrin is talking about what they're going to do to the Christians. They want to silence them. They want to kill them. they want to stop them. And Gamaliel stands up and he says, listen, if this movement is of God, you're not going to stop it. Don't you remember what happened? And he cites two people. One is Theudas. And Theudas proclaimed himself to be Messiah. He got a bunch of followers. Rome came in, crushed it, killed him. The followers basically dismissed and fell away. Then he says there was another one, Judas the Galilean. He also proclaimed himself to be the Messiah. He rose up, gathered followers. They made war against Rome. They were crushed. He was killed, and the followers dissipated as well. Nothing came to them. And here's the thing. They only had a few followers. Maybe a few hundred followers. You see, the people of the day, they knew what they were looking for in a Messiah in the sense of expecting God to be with this person in such a powerful way that they would do miracles, signs, and wonders. These were just rabble-rousers. They were claiming something that they were not. And Jesus says they were just thieves and robbers. Why? Because they were promising many things, but they couldn't deliver any of it. Because they're just human like you and me. They couldn't do anything. And so Jesus says the sheep didn't listen to them. He says, actually earlier in chapter 10, he says, listen, my sheep, they know my voice and they listen to me. Jesus says, I am the gate, my sheep hear my voice, they will follow me. Then, it says in verse 9a, those that come to me will be saved. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Verse 9, I have it as verse 9a because I'm splitting that verse into three sections. He says, verse 9a, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. Stop right there. Whoever enters through me, just like sheep enter into a pen, you enter into the kingdom of God, the relationship with God through Christ. He's the gate. And he says, those who enter through him will be saved. What does that mean? This word saved, Greek word sozo, for those of you who love the Greek, and it means this. It's a powerful word. It means, it has such a multitudinous meaning to it. It means to be fully saved. It means to be kept safe and sound. It means to be rescued from danger or destruction. It means to be saved from suffering. It means to be saved from disease. It means to be saved. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. Saved from judgment. Because we're told in the Word that God has set a day through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He is going to judge the world. I don't know about you, but I want to be saved from that. I don't want to be judged on the basis of my sins, my failures, not my own righteousness, no. And that's what that word means. He says, those who enter through me will be saved. You see, sin and its penalty has separated us from the life of God. He wants to reconnect us with a life with God. He wants to put us back in relationship with the Father. That which was lost in the garden so many millennia ago from our first parents who walked with God the Father. They walked with Him in the cool of the day. I don't know about you, but those kind of things blow my mind. Can you imagine? You work a hard day, and then you come, and either in the cool part of the day, during the day, or maybe it was in the morning, or maybe it was in the cool of the evening, we're not sure exactly, but all of a sudden you hear God calling you, and He says, hey, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. Isn't that awesome? Actually, to be able to walk literally, physically, with God. Now, we can't do that now, but we do get to walk with Him and talk with Him through the indwelling Spirit of Christ. And that is actually one of the benefits of the abundant life. So Jesus says He will be saved. I will give you abundant life. Abundant life is a life lived in the fullness of God's presence. It's through the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. The Spirit brings the life of Jesus into us. The Spirit brings that life and that grace and that power that transforms us. Listen, the Spirit does in us what we cannot do for ourselves. Some of you, maybe you're a Christian, maybe you have received abundant life, but you're struggling with things. Maybe you're struggling with addictions. Maybe you're struggling with habits. hurts, habits, or hang-ups. Maybe you're struggling with unforgiveness. Maybe you're struggling with anger. Maybe you have been traumatized. Maybe you have been abused, and you're struggling to release that. Someone shared with me just a couple of days ago, they said, you know, Pastor, I was sitting in my car, listening to this song, Christian song, was so beautiful. And as that song ended, the Lord spoke to me and said, why are you carrying around that sack of rocks on your back? And he said, in an instant, he was able to release anger and hurt and unforgiveness that he'd been holding on to for years. You see, that's sozo. He wants to deliver you from that stuff. He wants to get rid of that sack of rocks that is on your back that you've been hauling around and you won't let it go. And you see, there's room at the cross to come and just drop that sack down. You and I need to live in forgiveness, not unforgiveness. You and I need to live in the grace of God, the grace that saves us, keeps us, and is going to bring us into His kingdom. But guess what? That grace is not just for you. That grace is for each other. So if I've received grace, guess what? I've got to give it to you as well. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said some powerful things about forgiveness. He says, you want to be forgiven? Then you better be sure you forgive your brother from your heart. Because if you will not forgive your brother from your heart, you cannot be forgiven. What? I thought forgiveness was free and it was of His grace. Yes, but you can't receive His grace. His grace can't flow through you if you're blocked by unforgiveness and bitterness and anger. You got to release it because it's not yours to hold. Jesus said, vengeance is the Lord's, not yours. And so Jesus has abundant life for us. It transforms us. It brings us through. And so when I ask you, as I asked at the beginning, listen, when I ask you if you have abundant life, I'm also asking, are you saved? Are you saved? Because that is a benefit of the abundant life that Jesus has for you. Abundant life means I'm forgiven. I'm saved from His wrath. I'm saved from His judgment. He's removing from me all the baggage and the sin that I've gathered up in my life. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus? Do you know His abundant life? Let's break it down a little bit more. Number one, Jesus says in verse 9b, the second part of 9, He also says, as He says, I am the gate, and he who enters through me will be saved. He says, he will come in and go out. Stop right there. I think what that means is this, that through Jesus, it means we have protection and belonging. Protection and belonging. The other day, a friend and I stopped over to visit with Billy Boy and Janet. And Janet, we're so excited that your recuperation is going much, was it 3 weeks? You're ahead of the schedule, 3 weeks? Praise God for that. Amen? Beautiful. As we were leaving, I think Brenda left a couple minutes earlier than I did, and as Billy and I walked out the door, and we're talking there, all of a sudden I hear in my ear some noises. It's, because they have sheep. His sheep know His voice. And they heard His voice, and guess what? They're calling to Him. I think they wanted more food, myself. I don't think they wanted Him. I think they wanted more food. They know the hand that feeds them. Isn't that funny? Now, He has a pen there that does two things. Number one, it provides a home for them and protection. There's a little, protective hut there. So it protects them. That fence protects them. The other thing it does, it keeps other animals and predators out so that they're not hurt. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, look, if you come to me, you're going to belong to me, and you're going to have protection in your life and a place to belong. You see, Jesus allows us to go in and out of his belongingness, so to speak, his presence, and live this life. Isn't it a beautiful thing that no matter where you go, not just in this country, but in this world, if you find other believers, you are at home with them. When we were in Turkey, This is, I think it was 2007, and gathered with a group of believers, you know, didn't even understand what they're saying because they're speaking in Turkish. But I knew what they're saying. They're saying the same thing that I'm saying, that, you know, praise you, Lord, praise you, God. You are our Savior, and we praise you and worship you. I didn't understand the words except through the translator. But I'm half a world away from this country, my home, and I have a spiritual home with them because Jesus provides a belonging place and He provides protection. Just as you protect sheep because they're very vulnerable. Let me pause there for a second. Sheep are very vulnerable. You wonder why Jesus often compares us to sheep? Because you see, sheep are vulnerable. And as I said earlier, they're kind of stupid. They're kind of dumb. Does that remind you anybody? You see, we humans, we think we're pretty invulnerable. You know, yeah, I'm the captain of my ship, master of my fate. No, you're not. No, you're not. You can be in the hospital in an instant. You know, you can be walking along and, coronary. You know, we are very vulnerable. Very vulnerable. And unfortunately in this country, we have grown insulated where we think that, you know, we're just not vulnerable to things. And we are. We're very vulnerable. We don't think about death too much unless, you know, it's a loved one that passes or, you know, someone we know or... We don't think about it. We think, oh, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. And, you know, every once in a while you see something on the internet. A new miracle drug is one that's going to allow you to live forever. You're going to cheat death. Really? I don't think so. God says in Hebrews, that chapter 8, it is destined for us to die once, and then we will face the judgment, it says. But you see, with the protection that Jesus gives us, sozo, being saved from judgment, I don't have to fear that. I don't have to worry about that. I am covered by the blood of Christ. I'm covered. And He guarantees me a place in heaven. So we go in and out. We're protected without being attacked. And we can come back to that which is our home, our family. And so it is with us, this church family. And this is such a wonderful church family. When someone is infirmed and someone is sick and they need meals or they need visitation. I was amazed, just one thing after another, if I heard people that have gone up to visit Janet and others that have gone down to visit John Wosky, even though he recently wasn't attending our congregation. He's still part of our church family, our extended church family. So it is with us. Jesus provides protection and He provides belonging. In verses 14 through 16, a little bit ahead of our passage, He says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen that I must bring them in also. I believe that's referring to you and me. Because you see, the first sheep were Jewish. You know that. You understand that. That's why we owe the Jewish people a spiritual heritage. For all the promises and oracles of God were with them. The prophets are theirs. The promises of God are theirs. So Jesus says, I have other sheep. That's you and me, Gentiles, that have come in to the pen. He says, they too will listen to my voice, and there should be one flock and one shepherd. Isn't it great that you and I don't have to sort out all this church stuff? You know, you can run into somebody that's going to, you know, Church of the Covered Dish. And, you know, they have a church meal every Sunday after church, and they think that's the way you're supposed to do it. And the Bible says that. So, you know, I can say to them, praise God, man, I'm coming. I'm coming to your covered dish supper. I don't know if I can be there every Sunday, but I'm coming. And you know what? If you love Jesus, and I love Jesus, we're brothers. Or we're brothers and sisters. We belong to one another. I'm a son from another mother. But we have the same father. And it doesn't matter. You know, listen, folks. It can be people from Catholic Church background. And as long as you know Jesus and you love Jesus, hey, we're going to let Jesus sort out all that stuff. Now, there's a lot to sort out in the Catholic Church. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot to sort out there. There's a lot of man-made stuff there. Whew. That's another sermon. I saw that look, Brenda. Don't go there, she's saying. Don't go there. All right. Jesus' sheep know His voice. We know Him. He lays down His life for His sheep because there's going to be one flock and one shepherd. There is protection. There is belonging. Number two. The last thing He says, they will find pasture. They will find pasture. I was thinking about this last night. I was like, Lord, I don't really want to go out and eat grass. That does not appeal to me. What do you mean by this? Think about it for a second. What do sheep find out in the pasture? What's one of the things they find? Food, grass, okay? Jesus is saying, I'm going to provide food for you. Didn't He say that already? Matthew chapter 5, O you of little faith, why do you worry about these things? Your Father knows that you need them. What you will eat, what you will wear, He knows that you will need, that you need these, and He will supply these for you. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. What else does you find in a pasture? Say again. Warmth. Water. Thank you. Water. They go out to the stream. There might be shade. The grass is soft. They are able to bed down and hang out. I like that idea. Hanging out in the field. Other sheep. They're going to find fellowship in the flock, the belonging. You know, I missed that, whatever that was. Fellowship. Yeah. That was a bad joke. Help us, Jesus. You see, through Jesus, we find pasture, which is this. It means food, growth, increase. It means to supply all of our needs. That's what you find in Jesus. He promises to give you and me abundant life, which means we're going to go in and out. There's belonging. There's protection. He's going to provide pasture for us, which means there's rest. Stop striving. Stop. Cease from striving because you and I cannot accomplish anything in our own strength. Didn't Jesus say that? John chapter 15. Unless you abide in me, you accomplish what?
Nothing.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we cease from striving. Then He says this interesting statement here, verse 10. Verse 10. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. You see, there is a thief. Just as there were thieves that would literally try to break in and steal people's sheep, and there were predators that would try to come and kill the sheep and drag them off. And that happens even today. You know, we know that when there's large, large flocks, people try to come and steal some of the flock. But He's speaking about something specific here. Just as there was a thief, an enemy, that would try to steal the sheep, so there is a thief, there is an enemy of us. And you see, we play into His hand very often. You know how we do that? By going our own way. When we think that we can do things better than God can, then we are falling right into the lie and right into the deception of the enemy. And guess what? You see, He's over here. He's over here and He is stirring the pot. And He is working up a plan. And He speaks deceit and He speaks lies and He says to us, you know, God doesn't really have your best interest in mind. You got to look out for you. God's not going to really supply your needs. That's why you need to work those extra hours, Don. Because it's up to you. And it's up to me. You got to burn the candle at not only both ends if you want to make it, but you got to burn it in the middle too. Oh, don't worry about going to church on Sunday. God understands. And by the way, you can worship God out in the woods. By the way, I've never seen anybody worship God in the woods. I haven't seen him out there yet. I've seen him with guns, bow and arrow, killing things for food. And I like that. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But I've never seen anybody out in the woods. You ever seen anybody out in the woods? Okay. Well, you're one of a few. I'm talking about worshiping God, though. That's good. That's good. That's good. But that's the enemy. He says, you don't worry about that church thing. You don't need to worship God. You don't need to worry about going to church. That old preacher, he takes too long anyway. And you can't half understand what he says. That's what he lies to us about. He said, take care of your own life. You know what? Come up with a plan for your life and man, run after it hard. Do it. Whatever it takes, do it. If you have to move your family halfway across the world, halfway across the nation, pull up all your roots so you can have a better job. More money. Don't worry about whether you're pulling the kids out of church, out of school, out of the community. You've got to have that job. Better job. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Listen, that's why you and I need to listen as sheep. Listen to the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd. That's what it says here, right? These are Jesus' words. Verse 10, I am the good shepherd. Listen, whenever you start doubting, whenever you start questioning, whenever you start struggling, go back to the Word. You ought to write that down. You ought to have that on a 3x5 card. Have it on your phone. I am the good shepherd. I am looking out for you. I have abundant life for you. Because the enemy, the thief, he's going to come and try to steal things from you. He's going to speak lies to you. He's going to say, your children, they're not going to be yours for much longer. They're going to get out in the world. They're not going to follow the Lord anymore. They're not going to love the Lord. You know what? When I hear those whispers in my head, I say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. The Word of God says that if we train up a child in the way he shall go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I know that that is not a promise. It's a proverb. And so, therefore, we raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, the training and the instruction of the Lord, because you know what? The Holy Spirit is the hound of heaven. And he's going to pursue them their whole life. He's not going to let them stray too far away without speaking to them, without calling them. The good shepherd will call his sheep back. Amen? Don't listen to those lies. Don't listen to the lies of fear. A lot of people are afraid of the big C word. I wish Brother Ollie was here. I'd ask him to testify right now. He's going on 3 years now. Doctor told him you have 6 months to live. He's going on 3 years now, and every time they do the scan, the tumors have shrunk. And he's not on any medication, chemo. Now, that's not the path for everybody. Don't get me wrong. But he's not afraid. He's not afraid. Because he is listening to the good shepherd. There's several scriptures that I want to close with this morning. First of all is 2 Peter 1, chapter 3. Dave Kofelt's going to read that for us.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness.
So abundant life means He's given us everything we need for what? Life and godliness. Some of y'all out there, you're searching for more. I got to find the next thing, the next exciting thing. I knew this person one time, and all they did was flit from, one seminar to another, one conference to another. I mean, they're just always on the go, Oh, I'm going up to this worship conference. Oh, I'm going over to, Fishnet. I'm going over here to this prophecy conference. Just one after another. It's like, listen, you need to stop all that. Slow down and just spend time with God. He's giving you everything you need through the Holy Spirit in you. You don't want to be chasing things around. Now our flesh, listen, our flesh wants what it wants. And God says there's some good things in life that you can enjoy. That's okay. You know, it's okay to have things. The question is, do they have you? That's the question. It's okay to have things. The question is, do those things have you? And are you chasing after the next thing? You see, His divine power has given us all that we need. Listen, begin to search out the riches of God's grace instead of all the things of the world. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the beauty of God's creation. We were down at Myrtle Beach for vacation, and you know, I just love the ocean. I just stay in there for hours and hours, come out looking like a prune. But I love it. But you can't live in the ocean. That represents, you know, that which you really love on this earth, the ocean. I love it. If I could, I'd own a house next to the beach, and I'd commute here with a helicopter provided by Donald Trump. And if any of you want to, you know, join me in writing to him about that, talk to me after. You can't chase after those things because they will leave you empty. Second scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And Alex Richards is going to read that for us.
And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
There's a promise. God is able to make all grace abound. See the word? Abound. Abundant. He will make all grace abound to you, so that in all things... What things? What things? At what times? Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Listen, some of us are focused on things that, you know, Paul says they're going to burn up. You know, wood, hay, and stubble. And we're spending our life on things that are just going to burn up. But God has good works for you and for me. He has really good works for you and me. The other night I was in the food line and ran into a fellow who used to come to this church some years ago and hadn't seen him in a long time, and I was glad to see him. And greeted him, and we were talking. And as we're talking, now he's a fellow believer, he's saved, he's on his way to heaven, he's following the Lord. Hey, you're good. You're good. There's a lot of people in our community that don't know the Lord. They are not good. They are not on their way to heaven. And so as we're talking, I spied a fella walking up the aisle that I knew, and I know he's not saved. And you know me, I love to talk. Who laughed at that? Who laughed? I enjoy talking, I enjoy catching up and lollygagging. So, you know, I look down and I see this aisle and I said to my friend, I said, you know what? I need to go talk to him. Because it's great to have fellowship, it's great to talk, but there's people out there that they need the Lord. They need the Lord. And you know, we're spending our time, folks, on things that are going to burn up. I love going out on a boat. I love fishing, crabbing, all those good. That's great. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But is that all you're doing? What about your neighbors around you? You see, part of having an abundant life is, man, I get to share this grace of God with other people. And there is nothing more glorious than sharing the grace of God and seeing somebody come to Christ. Oh, you talk about abundant life. God's given you all that you need. Oh, Pastor, I don't know how to evangelize. I don't know how to share the gospel. Yes, you do. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, God, first of all, says, I will give you the words. When the time comes, I will give you the words to speak. And it's not that hard. It's really two things. Once I was lost, now I am found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Not because of me, but because of what? That better be Jesus. But because of His amazing grace. Amen? Because of His amazing grace. Last scripture. Philippians 4:19. And Mark Turbett's going to read that for us. Pastor, you don't understand. I have all these needs. I have these bills to pay. I have these issues. I have these problems. First of all, you need to know something. I can't fix those things for you. A lot of people come to me and they say, Pastor, you know, can you help me? You know, God's got to fix these things for me. First of all, no, He doesn't. He does not need to fix those things. Because a lot of times He lets us go through the consequences of our choices. Now, what does He promise? I will be with you in the middle of this. And I will supply all of your needs according to my glorious riches. You have needs? So do I. God promises I'll supply those needs. My abundant life that I give to you, I will supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory. And let's just be honest, folks. Right? Can we just be honest for a second? Look around. Are any of us starving for a meal? Most of us have had a few too many and too much pizza. Most of us have a house to live in here. Most of us have a car to drive. Most of us have extra clothes. Most of us have some extra money. Maybe not much, but some. You know what? We're better off than 7/8 of the world. And we worry about having more. And we worry about whether our needs are going to be met. And the Lord's like, really? You live in the land of superabundance, where even the poorest of the poor can get help in this country because of the Christian charity of this country that's been built in from its inception? And we worry about our needs? I sent my Son to die for you, die for your sins. Not only did He die for you, but I raised Him from the dead, and you're worried about whether I can meet your needs or not? I have glorious riches in Christ Jesus, and I can meet your needs. The question is, will you trust me? The question is, will you seek me first, and will you put these things of the kingdom first in your life? And you see, some of those things are going to begin to fade away. Some of those things are going to begin to fade away because we'll realize, you know what, Lord, I thought I needed those things, but I really don't need them. I have several neighbors, in fact, in our whole community, that almost everybody seems like they have a boat. I don't know. It seems like every other week somebody else is pulling a boat into their driveway. You know, it gets a person thinking. They're like, man, I wanted a Harley. Maybe I ought to have a boat, Lord. But you know what I've seen? I've seen people that get these beautiful boats, you know, they're very expensive boats, especially around here. Very expensive boats. And they park them in the driveway. They park them in the lot. And then they're working, like, all the time. And I, you know, there's a couple of them that go out on, but I'm like, man, there's a lot of people. That boat is sitting there like a collector's item. Because I owe, therefore off to work I go. You see, we buy these things that we shouldn't with money that we don't have to impress people we don't even like. Now, if that's you, and you can fill in the blank, maybe it's not a boat, maybe it's something else. You don't need those things. Now, if God in His graciousness gives you something like that, great, great. But let's get first things first, amen? Let's get abundant life back in focus, back in perspective, what God wants for you and for me. Do you have abundant life? Are you saved? Have you entrusted your life to Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd? I'm going to close with that, and I'm going to ask that question. And you need to answer, not to me, to Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our good shepherd. And thank you for coming to give us abundant life, eternal life. And Lord, we want to live in that life. We want to follow you every day. Lord, we want that abundant life, the supply of all of our needs, to give us protection and belonging. Lord, we want this. And we know that can only happen is if we lay our lives to you, lay our lives down to you. Lord, I believe there's some here today that are still struggling with that battle. They haven't come to that point of laying down their life to you. And Lord, your word always says that today is the day of salvation. If you hear my voice, don't harden your heart, don't close out your heart, but obey me. Come to me. Is that you this morning? If that's you, I'd like you to do something bold. I'd like you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Is that you this morning? I'd like you to say, Pastor, that's me. I hear his voice and I need to open my heart to him. Is that you? Then second of all, you may be saved, you may have come to Jesus, but you're saying, Pastor, I'm struggling to walk this walk. I'm struggling to keep things in perspective and in balance. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to you. Is that you? Are you struggling this morning? If you are here and you're struggling, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me? All across this congregation. I want to pray for all of you. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I pray you will make clear and make real to each one of us, and especially these who have raised their hands, make clear, Lord, your plan, your priority for their lives. We're led by the Spirit, not law. And Lord, your Spirit leads us because you are the good and the gentle shepherd. So gentle shepherd, come and lead us, feed us, and lead us into pasture. We love you, and we thank you, Lord, that we are yours. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. If you want prayer for any reason, our elders and one of our deaconesses will be up front. I will look forward to seeing you down at the picnic in a few minutes. Again, if you haven't planned for that, please come down. Please park on the right of the field, please. Park at the right of the field when you go down the driveway. God bless you all.